Hare Krishna, I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Tuesday, 25th September 2012. We first start with the invocation. So please chant with me. Om Agnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Swapadantikam. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताका स्वामिन इति नामिने नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस चैप्टर नंबर 5. It's a relatively smaller chapter and it talks about karma yoga again, but this time it is action in Krishna consciousness. So karma yoga, action in, so it's a very practical chapter, you know. Here Krishna gives the symptoms again of the devotee who is surrendered to him in Krishna consciousness, who is linked with him, who is doing his activities in Krishna consciousness. So those are the symptoms and the do's and don'ts. That's what Krishna is discussing in this chapter. So what we'll do is, there are 29 shlokas, so we'll read the translation slowly. So please be with me and then okay. I don't know, this plays games. technology beats you. Okay. Okay, let's go. Arjuna said, "O Krishna, first of all, you asked me to renounce work, and then again, you recommend work with devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me, definitely, which of the two is more beneficial?" The Personality of Godhead replied, "The renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated. O mighty armed Arjuna." Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. Merely renouncing all activities yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of nine gates, neither working nor causing work to be done. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Shutting out all external objects, sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses and intelligence, the transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and devatas, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So, a little longer, 29 shlokas, but doesn't matter. The message is one. If you see throughout, Krishna gives only one message, and that is to become equibalanced, equipoised, not get affected by the material problems or material happiness. You know, I had explained in the past that material problems and material happiness both are dangerous because they bind. Whereas spiritual happiness and spiritual problems are welcome because they purify. So let's go right in the beginning and see slowly, you know. As I said, we are not going to go into great details, but get a glimpse of what is in store for us. So in the fourth chapter, if you remember, Krishna talked about renouncing, and he talked about also working in devotion. He talks about karma yoga, and that was the transcendental knowledge we received in the fourth chapter. So he's again, you know, he just like us, he's presenting the case, asking that I'm confused now, you know, which is better, because he wants to go for the best. That's the reason, you know. He doesn't want any half-cooked solution. Or, okay, this is also there, that is also there, so let me, you know, I can try, you know. No. He knows that the human life is very, very precious. He knows that we have only limited time. So he wants to directly get the best benefit without wasting your efforts in something which is not productive. Okay. So Krishna, first of all, clarifies that both are good. Sannyas and karma or bhakti, you know. Because karma yoga and bhakti yoga, there is not much difference. I have been saying this. Because, why there is no difference? Because when you do karma in devotion, then you link with Krishna. Link with the Supreme Lord. So that is why, unless you have devotion, why you will work? Isn't it? If I don't have devotion for anybody, I don't like anybody, then why will I work? And I may work for some money, but that will not give me the pleasure. Here we are talking of working for pleasure, for self, pleasure for the self. Okay? But here, having said that, Krishna is also declaring that work in devotional service is better. Why? Because just by being a sannyasi does not guarantee that you will achieve the maximum. You will achieve the liberation, you will achieve the ultimate goal. See, here is saying, Krishna is saying very simply, who is renounced? One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of its activities. Neither hates, you know. Something bad happens, he doesn't hate. He doesn't start cursing Krishna. He doesn't start saying, oh my God, I didn't do that, although he did it. Right? So, and at the same time, desires of, you know, action. Desires of getting the results of the action. Not the action, the results of action. That is what is the difference. Okay. So, Krishna is saying those who differentiate between the two, they are ignorant. He says, so if you can achieve something by getting samadhi, going into samadhi or becoming a jnani, you know, studying and studying and studying, the same results can be achieved by simply doing some devotional service, you know, offering some flowers to Krishna, you know, worshipping him, remembering him, chanting about him, hearing about him, that all these can be achieved by the same. That's why sometimes it is said that a devotee is already renounced. He is already in the highest stage. Because generally sannyasis are considered as the highest, right? So devotee is already there because he is acting in Krishna consciousness. And that's what this chapter is all about. So simply by renouncing something rather than doing, you know, like we say a thing called neti, neti, neti. This material world is myth, mithya. So give it up. No. Don't give it up. Use it for Krishna service. That is what is called as Yukta Vairagya. Okay. So unless you are in Yukta Vairagya, you can't be happy. Because mere dry sannyas is not going to take you anywhere. Although you may feel some sense of achievement, oh, I become like that, you know. But that is in fact more dangerous sometimes, you know, because in the material world, the moment you become proud of your achievements, that's the problem. Similarly, a devotee also, if he keeps on flaunting his devotion to everybody, oh, I am such a great devotee, oh, I have done such a wonderful job, then he is also going to be rejected in the minds of others, you know. Others may still respect him outwardly, but and this respect and the devotion has to come from within. Even for Krishna, Krishna knows that, that those who come to him on their own will, on their own desire, they will be the ones who will be lasting forever. Not the ones who will come by somebody else is saying something, hey, go there and you will get something. No. Ultimately, it has to come from within. So see, and we know that if we are simple, if we are devoted and our mind is under control, then that person is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Isn't it? Because he doesn't distinguish, like it comes in future shloka, that a real sadhu looks at everybody in the same eyes, you know. That will come. So, a person who is in Krishna consciousness, who is in divine consciousness, although, as I mean, we said that earlier, that he looks like he is doing everything normal, normal like any other person, but still he knows within himself that actually he is not doing. He is just doing it as a service, as a duty, you know. Not that he is doing something great. And also he knows that while doing all this, only material senses are engaged. A very, very wonderful point. The person is aloof. Because why? Because we are the spirit soul. Right? We are not this matter. So my hand is working. That doesn't mean I am working. I am aloof from that. I am aloof from that. My body is working. I am not working. Okay? So everything at the soul level, it is a direct connection between us and Krishna. At the body level, body helps. You know, all other things help us. Not that, you know, we can do it independent of that. But still we should know that it's not that we are the ones who are doing something. And once we do that, what happens? You can live in water, but like a lotus. That means you can live in this material world, but like a lotus, you know. Like lotus, the water doesn't touch it. Water doesn't stay there, you know. All the mud, it's all grown in the muddy water. All the lotus. So that's how Krishna has chosen even that example so nicely, you know, to make people see that, oh, lotus is so beautiful. The same way, a person who rises above all these problems is seen by the society also as a great person, right? And he does everything for the purpose of purification. Purification. You know, we work, we study. Why are we studying Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavatam. For purification. For understanding, for getting the instructions and then using that instructions to purify. Because till we are purified, we are not qualified. Isn't it? So for that, we need this. And then Krishna is praising such person. He says, he's the person. Because he's offering all the results to me, he's going to be achieving me. And those who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, I want results. You know, people say that, I want results. I remember I was in North Carolina and I went for a job. I needed to take care of myself. So I said, okay, let me do some job. And this person asked, you know, I mean, not at one place, a couple of places, what is that you want? And I mean, of course, I gave them a very unorthodox answer. I said, I want to see people happy. So they were disappointed. They say, oh, we thought you want to make money. I said, if I make people happy, I will make money also. But that is not my goal. My goal is to make people happy. And they didn't like it. So they come to that, you know, that those who are greedy, then they become entangled. I didn't want to get entangled. I just wanted to keep my soul and body together and maintain my family and maintain a small temple. So for that I needed Lakshmi. So Krishna says, those who control his nature and mentally renounce all actions, mentally, and he resides happily in the city of nine gates. You know, this body is called a city of nine gates, Navadware. Two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, a mouth, anus and genitals, you know, these are the six, nine total. Happily. That means you are not affected. You are not affected by anything that is going. Like lotus is happily living, he is not thinking I am in the muddy water. Because if you start thinking like that, he will not look so beautiful. So, we do not do anything, everything is done by the modes of nature. We heard that before, right? It's the three modes of mode of goodness, mode of ignorance and mode of passion. They make us work. And this is the next one is a very, very, very important, you know, for us to understand. The Supreme Lord does not assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. He does not assume. He is not responsible. You know, he is not responsible for your pious or sinful activities. People say that all the time. If Krishna is living in your heart, why is he not stopping me from doing the wrong things? Oh, you've got better things to do. He's just sitting there as a witness. And you not even turn to him, so why he will take care of you? Okay? So that requires real thinking. That it's not Krishna, it's us. We are suffering or enjoying because of our own activities. Krishna is not responsible. Assume means not responsible. He didn't ask you to do wrong things. He did not... Yes, when you take shelter of him, when you turn towards him, the Paramatma inside you, then he starts guiding you. The maximum he can do is guiding you. He gives you better options. Options are always there, but he makes you aware of those options. Because ignorance covers real knowledge. Always, we know that. So, if everything is fixed in Krishna, then what happens? The purification. See, I talked about purification. Again, he's saying, becomes fully cleansed of misgivings. What misgivings? Oh, I am the body. I am the doer. I am suffering. Because of not my fault, because of others' fault. So, once you are purified, because it's like, you know, you want to get into postdoc, you have to do your PhD. You want to get liberated, you have to become purified. There's no other way. This is what I was telling you. An humble sage, sadhu, looks at everybody in the same. That means that sadhu looks at the soul, he's not looking at the body. And this is a nice clue for us, you know, when we get, sometimes we get agitated. Oh, this happened, that happened, extremism, this, that, you know. Just forget. We have no role in that. That is between him, those souls and Krishna. So, once we do this, once we see everybody in the same, at the same level, then what happens? We have conquered the conditions. That's the definition of liberation, right? No more birth or death. That's why it is called liberation. Not that liberation is something different than this. Liberation doesn't mean, oh, you get a nicer place and a better place and, you know, more enjoyment. That's not liberation. You're still attached there. Liberation means to get away, right? Yeah, this is another nice thing to understand. Neither rejoices nor laments. We discussed this also. Same equanimity means same. If something comes on his own accord, you receive it, accept it, don't throw it away. Don't do artificial renunciation. our renunciation should be like Yamunacharya. You know Yamunacharya, he got, at one point he got entangled with some lady and, you know, sex and this and that and all that. Then later on he became a devotee and he became an Acharya. So he says, now see how he is controlling his mind, how he is keeping his mind engaged in Krishna. He writes in one of the shlokas that whenever he thinks of sex or some material enjoyment, he says, my face becomes crooked and I feel like spitting. I feel like spitting because he has developed a distaste for the material thing. That's the thing, you know, they have to develop the distaste and develop higher taste. When we develop higher taste and we develop distaste for the material, higher taste for Krishna and distaste for material world, then we are in transcendence. The one who knows the science of God. Okay. And that person is always in trance, you know. You can see that you can, while trance doesn't mean you have to sit in a samadhi, of course, that's one way of doing it. You can concentrate that way also. That's the next chapter, Dhyana Yoga. But even otherwise we can achieve that. So we should not take part in the sources of misery. What is the sources of misery? The material senses. Contact with the material senses. Contact with the material nature is source of misery. We know that. Because even there is a pleasure, there is some ananda, otherwise we won't be, you know, doing so many things. But what happened? You should not be too happy about it, because it just comes and goes. So if you are able to tolerate, that's what Krishna told Arjuna in the second chapter, remember? Matra sparshastu kaunteya. He says, sukha dukha will come and go like the seasons. You should know to tolerate. So here also, tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger. Then the problem is solved. Same things. Here some clue to the meditation, because it's the next chapter. It's the end of the chapter. Krishna talks about that. How to control your breath and so on. Pranayama. And finally, if you remember, I always say that the last shloka of every chapter tells the same thing. Once we know that, and this is the key factor, one of the key factors, you know, you may say, I keep on saying that, okay, let's say one of the key factors, that is, Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. He is the only enjoyer. But at the same time, he is Suhrita. Let me read the shloka. Bhokta Ram Yagya Tapasa Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Supreme Lord of all planets and devatas. Sarva Loka, not Samaloka. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Suhrdam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim rachati. Shantim rachati. Once we know that I am not the owner, I am not the enjoyer. Krishna enjoys, okay, some enjoyment will automatically come to me. You root the tree, you water the roots of the tree, the leaves also get the water. Same way, we have to go to the source. And the source is the Supreme Lord Himself. So, this is one thing I remember almost 28, 29 years back when I started attending these classes. This was the key thing, you know. Krishna is the only enjoyer. Bhokta Ram. Bhokta. Bhokta means who enjoys. We are secondary enjoyers. Actually, we are not even that, you know, we are, as I said, you know, we should not aim at that. We should not think that I am doing this. I like this, that's why I am doing this. I like to go to the temple. No. I like to go to the temple to serve Krishna. Because I get an opportunity to serve Krishna, that's why I like to go to the temple. Not that I like to go to the temple to meet some men, women, this, that, all that, you know. No. I go to the temple, I worship Krishna to make him happy. You know, like everything for him. Once we do that, and that's why it is called as karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. Okay? So I'd like to stop here and we can take up some questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna.